Now a reading from Hebrews 7:23-28. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And unlike the other high priest, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest those who are subject to weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God this morning. Good morning, church. How are y'all doing this morning? Excellent. It is good to see you. It is good to be in worship with you. And I'm grateful every time I get the opportunity to preach. If we've not had the chance to meet yet, my name is Donovan Archie. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And I'm preaching in the fourth installment of our greater series, which is our study of the book of Hebrews. I pray that this book has blessed you tremendously, and the study of the book has blessed you tremendously. And if you had not had the opportunity to journey with us thus far, I want to invite you online to go and watch some of those videos. Hey there to our online community watching. It's a blessing to have you in worship as well. The book of Hebrews, as we've been going through, the book of Hebrews is a rich and complex book. You may have already heard our pastors or our pastoral team mention that it is rich with context and teachings as to who the person of Christ is. But it all points to this central theme of Jesus Christ being greater than anything and everything, not only in our lives, but in the world. In our study, if you just peel back one layer to the book of Hebrew, you would uncover that it doesn't really, that we don't really know who the author is. We don't have a lot of credentials behind the book of Hebrew. But the credentials do lie, in fact, in the teaching, the strong teaching, the sound insight and transformative nature of its teaching as it helps us to gain more significance for our faith, as it helps us to properly place Christ where Christ needs to be, not only in our lives, but in our understanding and our teaching as well. And it helps us to position Christ in a place in our lives where Christ is truly greater than anything and everything. But not just only having this done as an idea in our lives or owning this or thinking about it as an idea in our lives, but for it to become a reality, for it to become something that not only informs our teaching and our understanding of Christ and who he is and what he does in our lives, but that it becomes a reality for us that disrupts our thinking sometimes, that disrupts our own belief system, that disrupts our being, in fact. Scripture should do that to you. If it's not, I don't think you're reading scripture. I can say that. Moving along in our study today, Jesus is greater than the priest. In fact, he is the high priest and his role is permanent. It lasts. It is forever unchanged and it is indefinite. You can't take Jesus to HR. It's permanent. Will you join me in prayer this morning as we say a blessing over our learning and God's word this morning? Holy God eternal, we come back to you, Lord, ready to be equipped and motivated by the words that you've given us this morning. God, we seek to live more truthfully in you and for you. So we thank you for this teaching in Hebrews. Lord, help us to be present in this moment so that we could absorb your life and let your all-consuming fire, God, build these tabernacles so that our hearts are pure this day. We pray this in the name of Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. Amen. Amen. I want you to imagine something with me for a moment. Imagine for a moment that you have a job, you are working a job, or if you're retired that you have worked a job, but let's go back to that place, that you absolutely love. You have a job that you love and you're very good at it. You put your passion into it and you absolutely love what you do. You're so good at it. It shows and it's evident among everyone, and you know it yourself. You show up on time. You go beyond due diligence. You are good to people. You are nice most of the time. I know y'all. You're nice most of the time. You work hard. You show up. You're diligent. And you even work so passionately that you work knowing and feeling like there is deep purpose and meaning in your work. Now, I want you to imagine something else. I want you to imagine in that same line of thinking that there is a new hire that's coming in, and he or she likely will be your replacement. Somehow you catch wind of this, and this new hipster that is getting ready to be, or that has the potential to be hired into your position, is also a person who can do your job and can do it well. What's more, they are likely wildly better than you. And not only do other people know it, but you know it too. Their timing is better, perhaps. Their ideas are better. They are wiser. They have a greater capacity to do the work. They are kinder with others, and they know how to deal with people in a real and relational way. They are selfless. They are honoring, and they can take up the work in an entirely greater way than you have ever been able to. And what's more, they even can contribute to the mission in a way that you have not seen, understood, or had capacity to do. Well, according to the chapters, particularly chapter 5 through 7 in Hebrews' teaching of the priest, this is particularly and especially the life of Pastor Donovan. This is my life as a pastor, and it's also my work as a human being, or this is my life as a human being. My job has been taken over. And I think that's okay today, and you'll learn why. You see, one of the greatest jobs that I have in my life is none other than being an annoying husband. But being a father to 2 children is being a pastor, is none other than being a pastor. I absolutely love this job. Being a pastor, I have the incredible honor and opportunity to walk with people at some of the most critical points and times in their lives. People struggle, and I get to help them and be with them. As a pastor, I also have the opportunity to walk jointly with people at different parts of their spiritual journey, wherever they may find themselves, wherever you find yourself. I get the opportunity to help them know more about who God is and who Christ is and Christ's position and place in their life and role. I have the opportunity of interpreting scripture in a way that is faithful and true. I get the opportunity to listen to people's deepest needs. I get the opportunity to lead people in sacramental living that helps them to live faithfully before God. But then also I have the opportunity to challenge, to understand, and to unpack moral and modern dilemmas as a pastor. And what's more, I have the opportunity to pray with people, and the list goes on of things that I get to do as a pastor. My vocation is to help order the life, particularly the faith life of others, to ensure that people are flourishing and growing, not only in their spiritual lives, but their life in service to others. And the role of pastor is very sacred, and it's a critical role, not only for the church or for the community, but for the world, because the world has deep need. I got this role because I was affirmed by my particular community, particularly my community of peers, who said that you'd be a great candidate for this role. But I also got an opportunity to serve in this role because of the deep conviction that I had and still have that says that God wants me to do this job, at least for this period and point of my life. The title to my vocation is called pastor, but not everybody can resonate or relate to what this title is or what this actual person does, this title or role as pastor. And if you grew up in the church or not, you know that there are different names and roles and functions to a church leader or the church leader. You may have heard of the name be called priest or vicar. You may have heard the role called father or rector, reverend, clergy, minister, preacher, man or woman of God. However, regardless of the title or what you have heard this particular role called, they both serve the same spiritual function. To help lead others in a faithful life, to point them in the direction to where they can understand and know God, but then also grow in Christ through different practices and through deep understanding of scripture. Similarities in the work of pastors and priests also include relying on the Holy Spirit for effective service and helping people to commit themselves to deep prayer and then advocating for their lives to flourish. Looking at today's text, the preacher, because he in fact is a preacher, and he sort of writes this sermon or this letter, you can think of it in two ways, where he addresses the nature of this particular role, the role of priest or pastor. And he says that the need is so critical and that it's important, to not only order in the faith life, but it's also to understand its role and its function. Because it's actually not that important as it once was. So he writes to a particular community, particularly Judeo-Christians, and his desire is to help clarify for the Judeo-Christian community a deep and effective understanding on the effects of Jesus's ministry, but then also his death. And he does that by exploring it deeply and in depth. He gets particular as to who Jesus is and his purpose for coming, but then also connects him to other people that they have heard about in Scripture, other people that they have seen show up in Scripture, and how Jesus is even greater than them. And so today he writes, Jesus is greater than the priest. He also writes because he understands and knows that there is a realization that needs to be had when it comes to not only this group of Judeo-Christians who are growing more into their Christ-like identity, but 2,000 or perhaps actually many more years later writes to this community of faith because there's a realization that we are to come to as well. And that is, as important as this role, either my role as pastor or the role of priest is in the life and body of faith among the priesthood of believers, that while we are charged with the task of helping people to connect with God and become reconciled to God, that there are limitations in this role. And that even if we're thinking of ourselves as priests too, because we are, and I'll get there, that there are limitations to us as well. And Christ is greater than those limitations. Furthermore, the priest and the people, along with their faith practices, are severely limited, which turns into a limitation when we seek to connect deeply with God and have a real relational relationship with God. He recognizes in this particular teaching that there are key problems that are happening that he needs to make and offer as a reality for his people, but then also for us. That the priesthood that people are led to and in causes sometimes a stumbling block, or it limits people that they cannot grow into the ways that God is calling for them to grow. That what they truly seek when it comes to being perfected and flourishing, that they lack the opportunity to do that because of two things. And he's trying to get us away from those two things to flourishing and to growing in our spiritual lives. As he teaches this, he understands and knows for this community, but then also for us, that we have the tendency to oftentimes place our faith and our reliance on elements of faith, like practices that do not truly align themselves with God's perfect work in us and with us. And it doesn't allow for God's perfect work to be accomplished in our lives. Instead of fully surrendering to his transformative power, we sometimes can create our own methods and frameworks and realities. We can sometimes rely on our own rituals or traditions, our personal interpretations that may cause temporary comfort, but ultimately they fall short of truly having us to flourish and experience spiritual renewal. The truth is that the reliance on human constructs can lead us to having and developing a type of superficial faith where we truly miss out on the deeper and more transformative things that happen when we experience Jesus and Jesus himself. In doing so, when we do that, we can inadvertently hinder the very work that the Holy Spirit seeks to do in our lives and wants to do in our lives. And we even can develop preconceived notions and replace them with his truths. And by doing so, we can experience a faith that doesn't fulfill us, but in fact hinders us. The preacher in Hebrew writes this, and he understands that this is critical and wants for this community, but also this community, to get this in their mind. He understands one important thing is that we are hindered in our ability to draw near God with full confidence, and he wants for us to. That as he writes, he says that the law and the thing that we relied on, our practices, doesn't allow us to press forward into God's presence with full confidence, but he desires for us to. And he says that the only person that can help us do that truly is Jesus Christ as high priest in our lives. So the Hebrew writer writes and he brings up these two things that are huge for these law-abiding, priest-reliant people. He says that number one, that they are reliant on the love of the priests and the love of their practices. And then number two, he says that they have not recognized or realized Jesus as a high priest in their life because they rely so much on their old practices and their own ways. That in fact, Jesus is more incredible and larger than those practices and fulfills those practices. So that Jesus becomes the intercessor, the middle person, the in-between person that truly reconciles us with God, that truly does that work. So he begins and he writes. And I want you to visit chapter 7, verse 23 with me if you have your Bible. He first writes by helping us to see that the human condition can get in the way of God's holy work. If you look at verse 23, it says this. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death in continuing in office. And then I also want you to visit Hebrews 7, verse 27, where it says this, unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sin and then those for the people. This he did once and he offered it for himself. The writer, as he writes in both 23 and 27, wants us to understand something very critical here, especially as it relates to priests and our own lives, is that the human condition gets in the way of human work, and two parts of the human condition that he brings up is death and sin. He says in verse 23 that it is death that presents this work of salvation from continuing throughout human history, throughout the age and span of all time. That as people step into this office of priest, as priest or pastor, their lives will pass away. They are hindered. They are held back by death itself. That they are mortal beings and they will pass away from this earth. So if it is reliant on them, salvation will not continue. He says that they are in fact also broken as well. That not only do they die, but verse 27 says that the priest, that we ourselves have to offer sacrifices for ourselves before we offer sacrifices to others. Which means that we too are weak and broken vessels in use for God's glory. And that what God truly seeks to do in reconciling people, you and I, to himself, is to remove anything that is broken and weak and to replace it with something that is strong, and that's Jesus, the high priest. He says that the human condition gets in the way of God's holy work, that we die and that we pass away, but that we also come short sometimes, that we have the ability to judge. We have the ability to fall short. You may have heard of times where priests or pastors or religious leaders have ended up in the news for a slew of different things. Whether that's money problems or relationships that are extramarital, or maybe there's something more internal, maybe they're full of pride or greed, or maybe they're judgmental. He understands that the human condition is weak and it is prone to sin and that it will fall short, but he also understands that we will pass away. And what God wants to do, as articulated by the Hebrew writer, is to get us to develop and to know and to place on our hearts and in our lives a different type of priest, one whose life is indestructible, a person who does not die and whose life does not fade. But not only that, a person whose life is without sin, who can be the perfect sacrifice. So that's the first thing. That number one, he realizes that the human condition begins to be a hindrance to God's holy work. But then this other thing, as he teaches in this particular scripture, He says, second, perfection yields perfection. Now, those aren't his words. Those are my words. But I want to help you see, I want to help you understand how we see that. Let's visit Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 through 26. Let's take a look. It says, but he holds this his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. And consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him. Since he always lives to make intercession for them, for it was by his own fitting that we should have such a high priest who is, listen to this, holy and blameless and undefiled. Listen to this, who is also separate from sinner and exalted above the heavens. He writes and he helps us to understand that Christ, Jesus, is perfect, and that Jesus being perfect helps us to live perfect lives as well. Helps us to live into and live out a perfecting faith, because it is perfection that yields perfection. He writes here to help us understand that imperfection cannot yield perfection, but that it is only Christ, God, perfection that yields perfection in our lives that helps us to be truly fruitful. That Jesus was holy and blameless and undefiled and separate from sinners, and he calls for us to do the same exact thing. That perfection yields perfection. There is good news. There's the good news that I particularly appreciate about Jesus' life and work in our lives, as we realize that we ourselves, not just as pastors, but as people, are weak and are broken in lots of different ways, and that our own human condition can stand in the way of God's holy work. We can do it when we leave this place. We will do it. But to know that it is God who makes us perfect, it is Christ who does that work in our lives. Here's the exciting part for me. When Christ does that work of perfection, yielding perfection, he makes us priests. Isn't that amazing? That in God's perfecting work in us, he makes us and grafts us into his own priesthood. That as he makes us holy, and we become priests, not by the world's law and standard, because it perfects nothing, but by his standard and his life and a life in his life. That's good news. I want to use another piece of scripture as I close today to help articulate what the Hebrew writer means here. I think it's best interpreted through another scripture. Always use scripture to interpret scripture. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 9 is a scripture that you should visit. Here's what it says. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit. Include hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, now that you have tasted perfection in God, you can do that. It gets better. He says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be this, a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices acceptable to God. Listen to this, through Jesus Christ. It all starts and begins and ends with Jesus. Here's the other part, the last part. Peter encourages the body of Christ, the priesthood, and he says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you, Ebenezer Church, may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. So what's the point? The point is, because we realize our weakness and we offer an opportunity for Jesus to be a high priest for us in our lives, we don't rely on anything else, but we rely on Jesus because Jesus is greater. Jesus works and does a perfecting work in our lives and helps us to live out a perfecting faith and love. Jesus makes us priests. And as priests, just like the priest of old, you can read up on it, we're able to go to a special place to meet God. a holy place to meet God. And when we do that, we can draw near God with confidence. Amen. That when we are weak, he's strong. When they are weak, priest or whomever else, whatever else we rely on, Jesus is stronger. That everything is weak. All things are weak, but Jesus is strong. So this week, I want you to practice something. I want you to give your high priest a try. Amen. Try Jesus out a little bit, but in this way, as your high priest. As your high priest, where you are practicing repentance, where you are practicing confession, where you are practicing healing, or you're asking for healing from the high priest, where you are asking your high priest for wisdom as to how to navigate a situation, a marriage, a relationship, a problem at work, a problem in you, where you are asking for Jesus to save your soul. For Jesus to draw near to you so that you can receive and enter into his salvation. Or maybe it's growing in your identity in Christ. Or for some of us, or a lot of us, maybe you're doubting. And so Jesus says to bring those things to him because he is greater. The word of God for the people of God.